All right. Well, there once was an adventurous boy who was 10. Now, when you're 10, you think you're invincible. It's true. Now, his dad bought a kayak. What a great thing to have. This kid was stoked. You get to go at the back and tackle the big waves on this kayak. So the family took it out a few times. And they're having some great fun on it. So he thought he'd jump on and have another go. He started paddling out, heading for the back waves, feeling invincible. The swell was big for someone of 10, but he didn't care. He was determined to get out the back. So a wave broke in front of him, and hit the kayak and tipped him out. He was super scared. Waves were lapping over his head. He was flapping his arms around like he was drowning. And his head started to creep under. Now, tonight, we're looking forward. It's not like I'm looking forward to the weekend. It's more what happens next in the story. Can anyone remember what we have done so far? Awesome, yeah. So first week, Kirk spoke about looking up. It was about having faith, not reading the Bible as if it was just a bunch of rules. Now in the second week, Naomi spoke about looking down at the passage, reading the passage itself and breaking it down. Now last week, Laura spoke on looking back at what happened before, to understand what the passage was about. Now today I'm speaking about looking forward, which is similar to last week, but is looking at what happens next and how the story ends. And then next week, Naomi's speaking again about looking here, the application, how we apply the Bible to our everyday living. Now every week, this picture has appeared on the screen. I thought I might explain a bit about it. Now, the way I look at it is the Bible is a big puzzle. And these pieces help us piece together our understanding of the Bible and helps us to put it all together. The puzzle is incomplete. It isn't complete without all the pieces. So our understanding of the Bible isn't complete unless we look forward. So we have looked up and prayed. So to looking down, we're now going to read the Bible. If you were here last week, or the week before that, you would know this passage. But for those who are new, we are reading from the book of Luke. Now, if I can get some leaders to go grab the Bibles that are just over there and hand them out. So, has everyone got a Bible that they can look at? Now, can everyone see a Bible in front of them? Yes, yes. Can everyone see a Bible? Could I have a volunteer to read Luke chapter 7? If you've turned to it already, if you haven't, leaders, please help. Have you a different someone you've had to go? Yes, Caleb, are you at the, you're not? Luke chapter 7. All right, we're going to have Caleb read the verse now, Luke chapter 7, verses 1 to 10. So if all can be quiet for him.
When Jesus had finished saying all this in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent his friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve you to even come underneath my roof. This is why I do not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. I tell that one, come, and he comes. I say, my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel."
All right, thank you, Caleb, for that.
All right, so who here has read The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo? Has anyone read it? Have you watched the film? It's a bit inappropriate, I don't know. No, not really. It's a good book. It has been a bestseller. But I actually have not read this story and have no idea about it. Now, Laura spoke on how you don't, last week, about how you just don't open up a book or the Bible and understand what happens before. Like the girl with the dragon tattoo, I can't open up to a random page, read it. "Well, isn't that something?" Solander said so quietly that Amanska only saw her lips move. I have no idea what happens before that. Who's Solander? I don't know. It's the opposite for looking forward. You don't open up the book to the first page, read the first sentence. "The trial was funny. The trial was over. Everything that could be said had been said. But he had never doubted that he would lose. I have no idea what happens after this part of the story. Can anyone tell me what was wrong with the story that I said at the start? Yeah? The story about the boy in the water. Can anyone tell me what was wrong with it? Yeah, JJ? Yes, I did not tell you the ending. It had no ending. It was probably a bit puzzling. Because what happened to the poor boy? With the Bible, we don't know what the finished puzzle looks like. But we can try to find the missing pieces by looking forwards. Now, there are a few events that happened after the passage that we just read before. They were the death, the resurrection, and the ascending into heaven of Jesus. These events are very significant in the Christian story. It shows us that Jesus took all our sins, our burdens off our backs, and wiped our slate clean. Now, these were big events in the Bible. If you don't look forward to the death, resurrection, and ascending into heaven, you're missing a big part. If I turn to the ascension, which is in Acts, if you read the passages before, if you read all these passages before, start, it won't make a lot of sense when it comes to Jesus. And then in the rest of the Bible, it won't make a lot of sense when it comes to what Jesus has done. And Jesus is the biggest part of the Bible. Now I'm going to give you an example of this from Luke 7, looking forward in the Bible. The passage we're reading was the turning point in the story. It was a step towards having faith. Can anyone tell me
why it was unusual. Sorry. The Roman centurion from last week had an amazing faith. Can anyone tell me why this was unusual? Yep. Yeah. That's very good. That is correct. It was because he was a Roman. It's because he was a Roman and he was a Gentile. Now the Gentile was someone who wasn't a Jew. And probably everyone in this room is a Gentile. The next verse is looking forward in the Bible. It is in Acts. And while we read, I want you to think of how the Gentiles have changed. Now this is happening not long after Jesus ascends into heaven. Now, if leaders could help everyone go to Acts chapter 10, or if you could look, it's only a bit forward in the Bible from Luke.
And could I also have someone who is willing to read? Anyone want to read? In the back, I'm coming. All right, so read Acts 10, verses 22-29.
The men replied, "We have come from Colosseum, the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men inside into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter stared out with them. What? Started out with them. And some of the brothers from Joppa went along the following day. He arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expected that them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I am only a man myself." Talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising my objection. May I ask why you sent me for me?"
Thank you for that.
Right, Cornelius was a centurion, someone high up in the army who was a Gentile. Can anyone tell me how the Gentile in this story is different? Yeah? That's right. sort of. Now the Gentiles, as it says in Acts, were sincere and God-fearing. They had faith in God. And one of the reasons was because of Jesus in Luke healing a Gentile servant. Now it is interesting in this passage that Cornelius, who was a godly man, heard the good news from Peter, the man who Cornelius was told to fetch by an angel. It was actually Cornelius who became the first Gentile converted to Christianity. And we know that Peter was a disciple of Jesus. He continued with Jesus' work, with turning people to Christ. And Cornelius was just one of them. Now in the first passage we read, Luke 7, we know that Jesus went to heal a Gentile's servant. And that the Gentile said that he did not deserve to have Jesus come into his house. The centurion believed that he was unclean for Jesus to come. Throughout the Bible, we can see that Jesus has dinner with unapproved people by the Jewish leaders. Looking forward to Luke 20, a prostitute bathes Jesus' feet. Jesus didn't see people as clean or unclean, but the Jewish leaders did. Peter continued with this frame of mind. Now looking forward, it is the same today. Anyone can have a relationship with God. Jesus' message to Peter, all people are equal, and therefore all people should have the opportunity to hear the message of God. There are a lot of other significant parts in the Bible that come after these passages. Things like the Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit comes to Jesus' disciples after he leaves. The further spread of Christianity throughout the world, and the book of Revelations, which is essentially a crazy vision of the end of the world given to an apostle named John. If you want to know any more about these events in the Bible, I'm sure your leaders would be happy to tell you about them. Now, going back to the story of the boy drowning in the sea. Quick recap. A wave knocked him down out of the kayak. Thought he was drowning. All that. Well, his dad simply said to him, "Just stand up." And what happened then? He was standing in waist-deep water. So much for being invincible. It just happened to be me in that story when I was 10. It was a bit scary at the time, but now it is rather amusing. We look forward in the Bible to what happens next and how the story ends, how the puzzle pieces come together. And next week, we're looking here, the application, which is a really exciting part of looking at the Bible. Now, let me pray to finish. Lord, thank you that you are forgiving. Thank you that you sent Jesus down to save us from our sins. Please help us to read the Bible and help us to get the most out of your amazing word. In your name we pray. Amen.